This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. I'm WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The streetcar has been in operation for 2 years. What is the right criteria to measure its results? Ridership? Investments along the route? Quality of service and operations? Most importantly, how do we move forward productively, recognizing that some politicians prefer that the streetcar continues to be a wedge issue they can use to gin up turnout on other issues? To discuss present state and future options around the streetcar, we are joined by one of the most ardent and earliest supporters of the streetcar, businessman John Schneider, and former Cincinnati City Council member Kevin Flynn, who initially opposed the streetcar but voted to complete the project at a critical moment 5 years ago. To join our discussion, you can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. John, Kevin, very good to have you here.
Good afternoon, Dan.
Gene, amazing. A topic like the streetcar, John. Can't believe talking to you about this.
First chance I've ever had, I think.
I know. I never talked to you about this. Most frequently, observers and critics sort of try to evaluate the success, the health of the streetcar in terms of ridership, often comparing it to projected, you know, the actual to the projected. John, how important is ridership in the evaluation of the streetcar to you?
Well, you know, estimations of ridership is real black box stuff. They're models that are developed from experience in other cities. You know, the same firm estimated the ridership in Cincinnati as in Kansas City. We have about, 60% of the ridership that is projected here. Kansas City was estimated at 2,700 passengers per day. Now they're over 6,000. So it's something of a shot in the dark. I've been the principal advocate of this project forever. I don't think I ever talked about ridership. I talked about economic development. That's why we built it. Incidentally, by typical transit measures, productivity of passengers per revenue hour, it's about 38 passengers per hour. 20 passengers per hour is viewed as a successful transit project. So in terms of transit metrics, it does pretty well. It needs to do much better and will do much better.
When you say investment, what do you mean?
I mean that, first of all, the streetcar isn't investing anything. The streetcar is an amenity that is creating an environment where people want to invest. It's 3CDC and other developers and the city of Cincinnati, which is doing a lot of investment along the line. People have to eat at those restaurants. They need to occupy those apartments and those office buildings. Streetcar is making it a more attractive area for that to happen.
Kevin, what do you think about that particular approach, particularly on the investment side? And of course, you're a real estate attorney. So you've got a little experience with this, but what do you think about that approach?
Well, I think that I actually agree 100% with John that has always been the metric upon which the streetcar has been sold. If you looked at well before anybody broke ground on the streetcar, what was talked about was not moving people from place to place. It was the reason we had to put rails in the ground was that was what would drive people to redevelop abandoned buildings. And I think it was to the point where if you're a quarter mile away from the tracks, you get this much development. If you're a half mile away from the tracks, you get this much development. And there's no doubt that Over the Rhine is experiencing a tremendous growth renaissance. You can't buy anything for a reasonable price in Over the Rhine anymore, even north of Liberty.
So are you saying it's worked, or do you have questions about whether it's working?
Well, there was development that was happening well before the streetcar occurred. Is some of the development attributable to the streetcar? Yes. Is all of the development attributable to the streetcar? Probably not. And how you quantify how much is attributable to the streetcar and how much isn't depends on the highly paid consultant that you hire and what you want the result to be.
We actually have some numbers on this. The economists who estimated the development benefits from this said there would be $16 million of new development that would not occur but for the streetcar by the end
And that's marginal over what would have occurred anyway.
They discounted all the other projects, as Kevin mentions, that were in the works. What would happen if the streetcar were there? So by the end of 2016, they said there'd be $16 million. The Business Courier did a story in late 2016 where they interviewed building permits of 600 properties. They interviewed a couple hundred property owners, and they asked them, how big of an influence was a streetcar in your decision to invest? $25 million, 50% more than was projected, was attributed to the streetcar. And here's the important thing. The economists estimated the development that would happen within 1,000 feet of the streetcar. The Business Courier didn't have the resources to do that. They just estimated the development that was on the streetcar line, that had an address on the streetcar line. Mm-hmm. So my view is we are far ahead of our projections in terms of what we projected, and it's meeting its objectives.
Just to add into that, if you asked how much does a tax abatement weigh into your decision on whether to build, I would bet that you would have at least that number that would say yes.
Well, Kevin's absolutely right. Tax abatement in our city is a big thing. But tax abatement is available in all of our 52 neighborhoods. You're not seeing the development that Kevin talks about in the other 51 neighborhoods or other 50 neighborhoods that you're seeing in downtown and over the Rhine right now.
Well, but you also don't have a 3CDC in the other 51 neighborhoods.
Although the port is trying to be something like that, but without the same resources.
They have nowhere near the millions and millions of dollars that downtown people put in.
Let me ask both of you a slightly different kind of question. Kevin, do you, 2 years after, 5 years after your vote, 2 years after the operation, do you regret your decision to vote to move forward and complete the streetcar?
Well, it would have made my life a lot easier if I had voted no. But no, I don't. I don't think that it would have been a responsible vote for me. I was listening earlier today, and we were on VXU. They were talking about TARP and how that was probably the last bipartisan vote that took place in Congress, and a lot of people lost their jobs in Congress because of the vote they took on TARP. But I think most of those congressmen would still say, to avoid an economic meltdown in the United States, that was a correct vote.
John, do you regret not doing something back in the lead up to this that you think you should have done?
Yes.
Study, something that should have happened before, and I'm just talking about you personally, but the group that you had pulled together, do you wish there was something you would have done?
Yes, and I've said this to people in other cities who are planning streetcars. I would have said, your streets are going to change with this investment on it, this physical street. You're going to need to do some serious traffic engineering ahead of time. You're going to need to coordinate your traffic signals. You're going to need to probably have some dedicated transit lanes in some areas. None of that was done prior to this project. We're expecting a traffic study to be completed in December, which may lay out a path for doing some of that. But that is my biggest regret, that I and others did not prepare or ask the city to prepare for what this was going to take to move this streetcar through the city as fast as it needs to move to be useful, or as useful as it could be. Finally, we're getting a handle on that, and I hope that gets better.
And just to follow up on that, I mean, it's a shame that the traffic study wasn't done.
And still isn't completed.
I think it was 2016.
Yes, I actually have the dates on that. It was June of 2016. The city administration was notified by the people testing the streetcar that they could not make schedule. They could not do the loop in the time that they should make it in. The city administration sort of slow walked that through City Hall, and that study did not start until December of 2017, a year and a half later, and won't be finished till this year. So we lost a lot of time. And again, I take some of the responsibility. I should have tried to push for that earlier, that would be done.
But I actually introduced the legislation
to get it done,
to have this traffic study done in 2016. The money was appropriated.
Yes. The money was in the budget, right?
Yeah.
And it's just too bad that we've dragged our feet on this. But, you know, it's one thing to sort of fall, another thing to pick yourself up. And I think we'll succeed at this.
Well, John, we've had people send in email questions when they saw that we were going to talk about this. There's people really interested in this out there.
Shock.
Yes, I know. Steve Dieters from Oakley wrote in an email this morning, how can anyone explain that the ridership on the streetcar is running about 47% of what was originally projected in the original studies, and even less using the ridership figures provided in the Tiger Grant application, which was to the federal government for streetcar funding? It has to be more than just block tracks and streetlight issues.
Well, I just got a note on this. The streetcar in August was blocked about 220 times for 11 hours and so many minutes. That's like half a day's service we lost, okay? I follow these streetcar systems all around the country, all of them. None of them have these kind of problems. So that is a major problem. Greg Landsman, who is leading the effort at City Council, seems serious about trying to solve this problem. Some of us are meeting on that. I hope there's results. The other thing is the traffic study. It needs to be faster. Again, 88% of the benefits of this streetcar were estimated to come from the economic development along the line. Ridership was not a key factor. It's why I never talked about it. It's why no one ever really talked about it. Okay. We want it to be better, and it will be.
Okay. In the essay, you each wrote an essay on our website, and I really recommend people go and look at that. One of the things you said that you will be looking for on the ridership question, the increase on weekday ridership as more people move downtown who don't own cars and don't want to get their cars out. And that's a key indicator for you, right, John?
Yes. And, you know, we expected the weekday ridership to be very strong. And the reality is, in about half the months recently, 2018 weekday ridership has exceeded 2017 ridership. So that's something to be optimistic about.
So,
but I'll get back to the – if it's too slow, if it gets blocked, people who work downtown aren't going to use it to take it to lunch. People who need to commute with it aren't going to use it. Right. Until we solve this problem with the right-of-way, weekday ridership is going to lag.
Okay. We have a caller who's called in. David, you have a question?
I do indeed. I'm a very strong supporter of the concept of light rail. And I think what we may be missing here, or what I don't hear people talking about, is that the underlying and ultimate purpose of the streetcar is to provide efficient mass transit. And only when the streetcar is expanded to connect with the major population centers will it be of value. I think it's really it's beside the point to talk about what the ridership is at the moment with a tiny little 2-mile-long section of rail, which honestly serves little purpose except for development of real estate, which it should not be, in my opinion, the purpose. So what I'm hoping is that I hear people talking about extending light rail to all of the population centers of greater Cincinnati, because anybody that tries to drive in and out of Cincinnati in the morning or out of Cincinnati knows that the current system of automobiles is breaking down and soon will be really impossible.
Okay. I want to give people a chance to respond to that. Now we've really gotten – it's not just a streetcar. We're talking about light rail, which the two things can be compatible and interactive, but they're really potentially slightly different versions, which I learned from John Schneider by going with him to Portland, by the way. So anybody want to take on David's points here?
Well, let me just open it up. You mentioned Portland. I was just out there this past summer. And if you try and get anywhere near Portland from 3 o'clock on in the afternoon or during morning rush hour, you're in a 2-hour commute. Cincinnati is not like that. It's never been like that. I live in Mount Airy, and I can get to Fairfax in 22 minutes. It's very difficult to drive mass transit when people have the convenience of cars, when it's cheap to drive your own car, and it's always going to be faster in a situation like that. Now, if you're in another part of the country where, you know, Chicago, you can take the train and it takes 1 hour to commute in, you drive and it takes 2 hours to commute in, you're talking a different animal, and that would do it. I would love to see more people use mass transit. I don't think people are going to give up the convenience.
Dan, as you know, I chaired the campaign for light rail in 2002, 50 miles of light rail and a huge expansion of the bus system, which, frankly, we're still talking about. That lost 2-1 in Hamilton County. But what we noticed was, while it lost 2-1 in Hamilton County, it won by 2-1 in downtown and over the Rhine. So what we've built, even though we call it a streetcar, is a light rail line in downtown. Those tracks on Main and Walnut Street, those are light rail tracks. The vehicles we bought are light rail vehicles. One of these days, I hope there are more people like the caller who say, you know, gee, if we could get this out to Blue Ash or we get this out to Tri-County, you know, I think I'd use it. And the trends are all bad on traffic congestion. I mean, it's not getting better. And so, time will tell. Most cities that start down this path stay on it and eventually build a light rail system.
I want to talk about what do we do moving forward. And one of the issues that's out there right now is removing SORTA from the management stream here and moving, you know, the city into more direct role. Kevin, you're very familiar with City Hall and how it works. Is that a good proposal? Or what would make that a good proposal? Let me put it that way.
If it can be done where there is one person that is in charge of the streetcar operations that reports to the city manager, insulated from the push and pull of day-to-day politics of City Hall, I think it would be a good thing. Let's sort of concentrate on the bus system, mm-hmm. which has enormous challenges right now. If we do get to the point where we can expand and do light rail or even expand the streetcar, I quietly was working since the day of the opening of the streetcar. I was quietly working on a trackless streetcar system to Uptown and around Uptown, because that's all of the major institutions have their own bus systems up there.
Well, the two huge employment areas in the region, not just in Hamilton County, but in the region, are Central Business District of downtown Cincinnati and Uptown around the hospitals and the university. So, and that's, of course, the whole question of either extending the tracks or trackless. That's another idea. John, what do you think about removing SORTA from this equation?
Well, it's not like we don't have a CEO of the streetcar right now. Every decision on the streetcar for the last 4 years has passed through the hands of the deputy city manager, who reports to the city manager. That's so. Is that really going to change? There are 24 streetcar systems in the United States that are built, are being about ready to open, or fully financed. Of those 24, only four of them are operated by cities. They're almost all of them built by cities, but they turn them over to the transit agency. I have doubts that our city is capable of managing this project. And my feeling is, just from its track record, if they can't figure out a way to write tickets and tow cars and trucks off the streetcar line in 2 years, I wonder if they're capable. And I'm a big supporter of this city. I've volunteered my time for 25 years on city projects. I'm not a city basher. I think they're probably not capable of running something as sophisticated as this. I hope I'm wrong, because this seems like the way it's going to go. But it's contrary to the way these systems, the successful systems, are operated. We'll see. I think it's problematic.
Kevin, on another point, you have say in your essay that you think the way to move forward is with a plan that you and Mayor Cranley have put forward. It's called VTICA, and very honestly, I'm not quite sure I understand anything about it.
It's voluntary tax incentive contribution amounts. So traditionally in Cincinnati, when somebody wants to rehab a building or build a new building, they apply to the city for a tax abatement. For residential single-family construction, it's an automatic. For commercial structures, rental structures, it's every one of those comes through city council. This is a factor in city council's decision-making, and as a practical matter, very few, if any, projects go forward without having a tax incentive. What the VTICA does is it takes 15% of what otherwise would have been forgiven taxes, and the person receiving that benefit gives that in to help operate the streetcar. Over time, given the current and historical growth in downtown and over the Rhine, that number will grow to, after about 10 years, be around $4 million a year. That's almost the total operating costs.
So over time, you see this as a real operational solution to operational funding.
Well, Dan, and that's quite honestly the whole problem is we didn't have an operational funding mechanism before we decided to build the streetcar. That should have been decided ahead of time, and there could have been a lot of things put in place if we had done that.
John, what do you think about this plan?
I thought Kevin and Mayor Cranley's plan, the VTICA, is excellent. I agree with him. It's going to grow, and the faster the better. I think it's I'm not honestly crazy about tax abatements. I think now all cities in America give them, and to be competitive, you almost have to do it. What the VTICA does is returns that abatement to the neighborhood where the abatement is earned. I think that is kind of a critical factor that differentiates VTICA from some of the other aspects of just a general tax abatement. So I think Kevin was a real hero for dreaming this up. The mayor was great for pushing it through. I'm glad it's there.
Okay. I want to thank both John Schneider and Kevin Flynn for being with us today and for contributing thoughtful essays about the streetcar on the WVXU website. I recommend that you read them. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.